Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
I would like us to bow our heads as we pray. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we are grateful, Lord, for our assembling together unto you even at this time. We are grateful, Father in heaven, for your help that, God, we have known hitherto. We are grateful, Father, for this call aside to meet with you. We are grateful for the promise, Lord, of an open heaven unto us. We are grateful for all that, God, you have been doing in our lives. Thank you again, Lord, for this day and all that, God, you have in store. We are praying, dear Lord, that in mercy, seeing you are God who daily loads us with benefits, you will release to each of our lives all that, God, you have proposed for us today. We give you praise, Father, as we look into your word again this morning. We are asking, Lord, that you please speak to each of our hearts. We pray, dear Lord, that by your Spirit, you will mobilize us and draw us unto yourself. We give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. For our devotional challenge this morning, we'll be reading just two passages as the Lord will guide us. And what is laid in my heart, again, is nothing short of a challenge to prayer in the light of the promise that God is bringing before us. I would like us to read 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. We will read verse 1 and 2. And then we'll read verse 41 to 46. 1 Kings chapter 18. We shall read verse 1, verse 2, and then we'll go to verse 41 to 46. And afterward, we'll get to the book of Acts chapter 1. 1 Kings 18, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I read, it says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, present yourself to hear, and I will send the rain on the earth." Verse 2. So Elijah went to present himself to hear, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. Please go with me to verse 41. In verse 41, the scripture says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked, and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said again, he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to her, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he gathered up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. We'll read some few verses just to guide our thoughts this morning. Acts, chapter 1. I would like to read verses 4 and 5, and then I will read from verse 12 to 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, and then verse 12 to 14. Verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 12. "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James." Verse 14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were all sitting." May the Lord bless the reading of his word and grant us help again as we encourage one another this morning through his word, in the name of Jesus. Like I said, all that has been on my heart as we see God speaking very graciously to us, speaking about a season into which we have now come, all that I saw the Lord pointing at again is the challenge to prayer. And the way the Lord has brought this to my own heart is that we may glean from those to whom such promise came at one point or another, that we can glean from their own lives. I just sense as I waited on the Lord as to, "Lord, what is the direction for our challenge and our devotional challenge this morning?" I sense in my spirit, God is saying, it is not anything new. For God did not gather us just to hear new things, but that he may take us again for us to learn from those that were before us. And from the passage we read in that 1 Kings chapter 18, I just want to note a few issues as we draw on this need to pray. I recall when God's servant Isaiah Need was again challenging us yesterday at the prayer opera. It was a cry, the need to pray. Those of us that have been at the previous meeting at the preview, the Holy Spirit kept emphasizing the need for us to pray. And I just sense again, there's nothing much that is coming to my heart, but that we learn from these men how they responded to what God is bringing to them. Now, in 1 Kings 18 that we read, the Bible says, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send the rain on the earth. What has first touched me as I'm looking at this passage was that we saw a servant of God laboring among God's people at a time of spiritual depletion, so to speak. And God's word showed us how that in the previous chapter, he had walked before Ahab and said, except by my word, there will be no rain, there will be no dew until I come and say so again. And it's touching that the scripture says, after many days of dryness, after many days where there's been no rain, we will see, as we, if we had read some other portion on, we'll see the challenge. By verse 2, it says that there was a severe famine in Samaria. This dryness, this lack of rain has brought a big problem upon the land. And as the Lord has been speaking to us in this retreat, just like it was said to us yesterday, that we have come to a season. God is announcing a season of open heavens. We must have had several experiences before of dryness, of issues that have challenged us, of limitations. Even as God began to speak to us yesterday night, again, that when God comes and he visits us, when he opens the heaven to us, is to lift us up, is that we may ascend. I saw that in the same vein, after many days of such dryness, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Elijah. God's word of a visitation came to the servant of God. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the clear word is that God is saying, I will open the heavens again. I will send the rain. Now, it is how he responded to this that I said is a challenge that I sense God wants us again. I'm not saying any new thing. And hard as I waited and said, Lord, what is it? He said, there's nothing new, particularly. It's still the same old principle that in the light of the promise that God is making to us, the Bible says, he said, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send the rain on the earth. And verse 2 said, so Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. The challenge that first greets my heart, that I pray God can encourage us with, and in one way or another, since the MLR preview, God has been speaking about this, is the need to believe the word of God. I saw a need to believe the word of God. Now, what God is saying presently here is true. I was noting that from the action Elijah immediately took. The scripture says, so he went. On what ground was he going? The word of God that he has heard. And it touches my heart as I look at God's way of bringing his counsel to his people. There will be those that will hear that word directly, those that will be like our elders, fathers in the faith, and we pass the same down. Is it in Hebrews that the scripture says how we ought to take heed to this great salvation that has come to us, he said, which the Lord himself began to speak about, and it was testified to us by those who heard him. And I want to encourage again in this meeting this morning, it looks to enter upon this promise that God is speaking about. We must believe him. God must help us to take him at his word. And perhaps it's that we may hear that word in our spirit. I was touched when our sister Stasha said yesterday, she said, we didn't know that it's a season. She took time to show us that from all that God is showing us, we have come into a season. My cry and prayer for us is that for each of us, this will resonate with our own hearts. This will mix with faith in our own heart. It looks to me those that will again take up the challenge to see God and wait for this promise will be those first that have believed. I was told that the scripture says, after this word of promise had come to Elijah from the Lord, say, go and show yourself. I will send the rain. Show yourself to Ahab. I will send the rain. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. The Bible says, so Elijah went. He went in faith. He went believing what the Lord has said. Why is that very important for me? It's because the past experience, the persistence of famine in the land, the persistence of dryness did not hinder him or discourage him from believing God's word. Sometimes our past experiences of dryness and defeat may become an hindrance. When God now has said, times have changed, there's something I'm doing, it may hinder us from taking him at his word. We noted yesterday, again during the opera, and again as the servant of God followed it up also in the message, speaking about when Christ came, when the Lord visited, how that he said, the people to whom God's word came did not receive him. Say, he came to his own. His own did not receive him. They did not believe the message that came to them. I pray that as God is declaring a season of an open heaven, our past experiences of defeat, our past experiences, you know, of dryness will not hinder us from taking him at his word. The Bible says Elijah went and presented himself. Now, he did many things. Which again, if we had had time, but I pray maybe as the servant of God guides us and other instructions are coming, some of those will come. But I saw that when he went to show himself, there were many things he did, things that were out of place. As far as the will of God was concerned, he dealt with. When Uncle Dennis was speaking yesterday, he did mention about we digging ditches. I saw that Elijah went and engaged these different issues. He summoned all the people. He dealt with the issues of the prophets of Baal. He repaired the Lord's altar. The scripture said the Lord's altar that had been broken down, which seems to be things that were responsible for the closed heaven in the first place. He, in response to the promise of God, he dealt with all of that. But what has touched me was that was like clearing the bush to now engage the place of prayer, to now engage, you know, what will bring the promise that he has heard to fulfillment. The Bible says in that verse 41, I'm quickly getting there, that Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Two things strikes me here as the Lord is bringing this to my heart this morning that I pray God can encourage our hearts together with. The first thing I saw is that the Bible says it's to Ahab. He said, you can go and eat and drink. When somebody is eating and drinking, it's a point of you can rejoice. You can go and eat and drink. And the servant of God was declaring, says, there is the sound of abundance of rain. And I'm looking, on what ground is he making that declaration? It is not because the rain has begun to drizzle as at yet. Actually, he called it, there's a sound of an abundance of rain. I was wondering, how did he hear that sound? He had heard God. He was acting on what God's word has said. He said, go and eat and drink. There's a sound of abundance of rain. And the Bible says, so Ahab went to eat and drink. It's amazing that even Ahab could just believe that since Elijah said it, since Elijah said the rain is coming, all the troubles of me pursuing him because of the trouble on the land and wanting to cut off his head is over. He went and drank. Now, what the Bible says, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. I don't know how to express this, but it's a challenge that is coming very deeply to my own heart this morning. You know, when I read that Ahab went up to eat and drink, the conjunction I was thinking may come will be but, which will have been contrary to, as against the man that went to eat and drink. But somehow, maybe I'm just coming in, but that's the way it's striking me from my own Bible. The scripture says, and Elijah went up to eat and drink. The way it's occurring to me is that perhaps that Ahab, maybe as a king, perhaps it's not altogether wrong that he went to eat and drink because the word of God has come through the servant of God. But I'm touched that the scripture says there was something Elijah, the man on duty, had to do. You know, when was it yesterday morning that the word of God, when it was coming, and the servant of God was speaking and mentioned how when he says your house will be left to you desolate because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he says something that was very, very striking to my own heart. What was it? Is that the people Jesus was addressing, those that refused him, those that did not know their time of visitation, it's not just the generality of the people. It was some persons that ought to take responsibility at that time, those that were leaders, that if by God's grace they stepped in properly, the whole lot will have been blessed. And I was challenged afresh again. And as it challenged us that several of us, perhaps we are representing our nations, we are representing the people, we are representing our church. The cry is that God will help us to discern this time. God will help us to key in by his spirit into what he's saying now and take responsibility. That God's word had come, the servant of God knew, how do I respond to it? And as the Lord is declaring to us, this hereafter, you shall see heaven open. I said, what was impressed on my spirit is not just something new in this devotional challenge this morning, but to glean men to whom God's promise came before. What is it about it? God has spoken clearly, but somehow they understood their engagement in it. And the Bible says, and Elijah went up to the top of the Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. There's something to engage. And this is a challenge this morning. I know it's not strange, and somehow God has been speaking about it. But I sense our need this morning that the Lord may stir up our hearts. First, to believe what the Holy Spirit is saying. First, that word you know, strike our heart that God is saying, I'm opening the heavens. I'm coming to your head now. I'm doing away with all that has limited you until now. I'm taking you to another dimension in fulfilling my purpose. But that translates into our engaging God in the place of prayer. I just see this consistent in the Word of God, that God has given his word and they came to engage prayer. Now the Bible says he bowed down his head, his face between his knees. The way the New Testament helps us to understand that in the book of James chapter 5, this bowing down of his knee, of his bowing down, putting it down and putting his face between his knees. The Bible tells us in James 5 that he prayed earnestly. I didn't imagine that if God has made a promise to a man that he couldn't just walk and say, well, we are waiting for it, let it happen. Somehow, and I see this as an instruction for our heart, they saw the need to wait on the Lord, to pray earnestly and say, Lord, what you have promised, bring it to fulfillment. It was not just here. On that Mount Carmel, I mean, where was it that he dealt with the prophets of Baal? We saw what he did there also. After repairing the altar, the scripture says he called on the Lord earnestly and said, Lord, let it be known that I am your servant, that I have done this in your name, that it is what you have instructed me to do that I have engaged. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, wherever we are, God has sent his word to us. God has sent his promise to us of an open heaven hereafter. But I saw him saying there's a place to engage. First, to believe him. We have a need to believe his word. And I don't know how your heart is. If this has not sounded clearly in our heart, can we pray together this morning that, Lord, cause this word that you are saying, help me to understand it. Cause it to mix with faith in my heart. Let it not just be a mere word or a slogan. Help me to discern the time. Help me to discern this time that I might behave appropriately. And the second dimension, I saw that he engaged prayer. Now, but the dimension of prayer that we are seeing him engaging here is again noteworthy. The Bible says, as he put his face between his knees, he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He's praying and watching, praying and waiting, praying and waiting for what God has said to come to fulfillment. He said, go and look toward the sea. And the Bible says he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. There is nothing. The first response was, there was nothing. In our devotion on site yesterday morning, as the Lord was speaking about the night before, the need for us as children to take our bread so that the crumbs that will solve the problem of those around us may be released. The Lord was bringing us back to Luke 11, when the Lord Jesus taught on prayer, say, going to a friend at the midnight hour, and he spoke about how the bread will be released. He said he goes to this friend at the midnight and is knocking and says, a friend of mine, the people around me have come to me on their journey and I have nothing to set before them. He said, he that is within me answer first and say, don't trouble me. The door is shut. My children are now with me in bed. I cannot rise. It was touching again that the Holy Spirit was saying to us. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he may not rise because he is his friend, but by his persistence, he will arise and give him all that he needs. And it was heartwarming to us when the Lord was saying, the bread we need, that we deal, that we solve our own life's problem and meet the needs of those around us, the master says he will but persist in prayer. He will but persist at it. The matter of there is nothing may appear as a reluctance on the Lord. No, he's faithful to the promise he has made. He's very faithful to the promise he has made. But it's looking like an engagement, a training of our own lives. How serious are we about our needs being met? The Bible said, it said to him, there's nothing. There's nothing. And it will have appeared and said, excuse me, did God not say he will send the rain? How can it be that there's nothing? He said, go again. Go again. He said, and seven times he said, go again. Yes, it's been said that seven is a sign of perfection. Seven times. Keep going. Keep going. He who promised will not lie. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm just saying the challenge to honest, persistent prayer. The need to honestly pray until this visitation God is speaking to us so graciously. How he spoke to us yesterday of what to expect when the heavens open. The invasion of heaven upon the earth that God has been speaking about. Can God help us to believe him? Can God help us to engage him in the place of prayer until we see this visitation that he said is now at hand? He said, hereafter, you shall see the heavens open. I will send that rain. Now the Bible says, then it came to pass, verse 44. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up. Say to her, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. It's wonderful. May the Holy Spirit quicken each and every one of us onto this place of persevering in prayer. It may be for our own lives, as God has been speaking, these open heavens for each of our lives, the open heavens over the work that God has entrusted into our hands, over our nations. Can the Lord help us both to believe him, to understand this season in which we have come, and to wait on him in faith? The Bible says after the seven times he went, it came to pass the seventh time. What God said came to pass the seventh time. I'm amazed. The first, the second, the third, you know all this, my dear brothers and sisters. But the Holy Spirit is saying the seventh time. I sense in my heart, God just wants us again to glean from men like this to whom God's promise came as a challenge for our hearts together this morning. Now, the word of God says, so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I came to the book of Acts because the Lord just again impressed that on my heart as well. I'm just saying it's the same issue. In that Acts chapter 1, please go with me back to Acts 1. Like I said, what the Lord impressed on my heart this morning is not anything new to several of us. But I sense what God wants us to note is not just to have new things, is to note his principle in the light of what he's saying. And may God mobilize our hearts. May God enable each and every one of us first to believe him and to be able to wait on him for the fulfillment of this promise that he has made at this season. Please turn with me as I'm concluding this devotional challenge this morning from that Acts chapter 1. As we have read, the scripture says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's wonderful to my heart. Not many days from now. As they were assembled together, just as God has assembled us together in this MLR, the Bible says he commanded them. He spoke his counsel to them. Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Wait for the promise the Father has made. If the Holy Spirit is showing us that where we have come to, having led us, having spoke about Rehoboth, having spoke about the need to pursue, to overtake, to recover all, and he says, I will open, you will see the heavens open so that we enter into the fullness of what he has mobilized and laid hold of each of our lives for. I see the master says, wait for this promise. Wait for the promise. Now, but how did they respond to it? As I conclude, the Bible says in verse 12, you know, earlier on in verse 11, after Jesus was taken up, the angel came to them. Say, why are you standing, gazing? It's not the time to gaze. There's something to engage. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount, I mean, verse 12, from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room. I'm first touched by that. They went up to the upper room where they were staying. They went up to the upper room. Can we ask for God to grant us grace to go up? Each of us, each of our lives, to go up to the upper room. It may sound we are familiar with these things, yes, but can God help us to engage it? They went up to the upper room. He has told them, wait. How are they going to wait? The Father has made a promise. They have come to a season, but they needed, they went up onto the upper room. And the second issue that is touching me as I conclude this short exhortation this morning is the Bible says, and where they were staying, there was Peter, there was James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. What is touching my heart as I'm looking at this? Where were those at the upper room? I noted in 1 Kings 18, the Ahab could go and eat and drink, but the Elijah must go up. The Elijah needed to go up. And I'm touched that these 12, of course, it's 11 here before they chose the 12th man after Judas fell out. The first is that they led the way. They went up. They went up in waiting for this that God has said to enter into that season, into this that God was bringing about on the earth in their day. But that was not all. That was not all. The Bible says in verse 14, this all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Three issues that I want to stop with this morning, praying that the Holy Spirit will give increase to this very little that he has put in our heart to share together. There were the beside the apostles. The Bible says, but we also are noting that with them, there were the women. The women were not excluded in this waiting, in this engaging, this place of prayer. I'm also taught that the Bible says, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Thank God she had become a disciple. And the matter of standing outside, as we saw in Matthew, that Matthew chapter 12, that while Jesus was teaching himself and the brothers of the Lord were without, that has been a closed chapter now. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, will not take lightly the point of the fact of how she has been used of the Lord, how her womb has been borrowed of the Lord in the past to bring forth the Lord, I mean, to bear the Lord. How she will not take that for granted. She will not take that lightly as to deprive her from engaging this place. She was also waiting for this blessedness from above. And the Bible says even his brothers were there. Even his brother. May the Holy Spirit stir up each of our hearts this morning to respond appropriately. If there's a cry, I have been crying ever since this announcement, hereafter, on several fronts, but the matter of peeing in into what God is saying now. Peeing in by faith. Peeing in because that counsel of the Lord has become very, you know, engraved in our own hearts as well. And this peeing in that drives us to the place of expectation until the promise is fulfilled. Now, the last point I want to make in that verse 14 in scripture says, this all continued with one accord. These all. There were others that are without. They were still going to enjoy the blessing of the open heavens. But I saw that part of the devotion that we could note about these brethren, they continued in prayer. I pray that as we go on during this retreat and hereafter, we will continue in earnest prayer, in faith, until what God has said has become our experience in reality. Chapter 2 that we read only goes to show that God, who cannot lie, brought to pass his promise. The scripture says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and then suddenly they had waited, they continued, they were with one accord, they were agreed on it, and then they experienced the visitation of the Lord. What is the challenge that I see this morning God is calling you and I onto? Is a challenge to believe him, a challenge to wait on him in prayer until what he has said comes to pass. As I stop here for us to pray together, I'd like us to bow our hearts again and consider this word God is sending. Have you heard it? Have you heard it deep in your own spirit? Have we prayed to the point to say, Lord, help me to understand this season you are speaking about? Let it not just be mere rhetoric. God has taught us over time that MLR is not just coming to treat a topic. The servant of God said continually yesterday, we are here to meet with the Lord, to engage the Lord. And my cry and prayer is that each of us, what he is saying will be clear to us. We will not fall into the error of those that the Bible says, those that dwelt in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 13, and all our leaders, he said, the voice of the prophets. They said they didn't know him, nor the voice of the prophets that were read every Sabbath. Can we pray that the voice that is speaking clearly, God will cause us to recognize it. God will cause us to, you know, it is interesting that the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Elijah. That God's word
this that is declared in this council will come to each of us. We need it to be motivated in faith to engage him in the place of prayer. Permit me to stop here for now. I would like us to please bow our heads wherever we are, and we'll be speaking to God in prayer. Please, let's pray. Let's bow our heads as we pray together this morning. As we pray together this morning. My dear brothers and sisters, God has been doing many things in our lives since the first night. Since the opening charge of this meeting, he threw the challenge of we as children coming to take our bread so that the crumbs from our lives will solve the need of people waiting to be ministered to. God has encouraged us to see, you know, what will be when these heavens are open. Can we pray together this morning? Lord, let it not just be mere words to me. Oh, that what you are saying will mix with faith in my own heart, and it will drive me to believe you and wait. I just see that waiting in prayer is an action that is propelled by faith. Can we pray? Can we pray? Can I request Brother Tayo to please move us to pray and conclude this prayer for us this morning? Brother Tayo, please, can you please help us to trace this to pray? Patayo, let's pray.
Our Father and our God, we thank you. We appreciate you for coming to us again this morning by your word. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge to pray. A prayer is the key. Everywhere in all generations, all the times that God manifested himself on the earth, it was in answer, in response to the request of men from the earth. Lord, we thank you. A prayer was so crucial that the disciples of Jesus, they observed even Christ himself, and they asked him, teach us to pray. Lord, it's interesting that they didn't ask you for anything else. They didn't ask you, teach us to preach. They didn't ask you, teach us to sing. They asked you, teach us to pray. Lord, we have heard this exhortation. We can only make a request as the disciples did. Teach us to pray. Elijah prayed. Even for Jesus, it was as he was praying at the baptism of John that the heaven opened. Lord, we will pray. Encourage our hearts to pray. Enable our hearts to pray. Mobilize us to pray. Individually, we will pray. Lord, since last year, we request of you, you spoke to us that the spirit of supplication and of prayer to fall on us. Lord, we still ask you, O God, baptize us, Lord, into praying. As individuals, corporately, Lord, in all the places where you'll be gathering us together after here, teach us to pray. For what you want to release, we only come to us as we pray. On your side, you stand by your word. You will do it. But you want us to partner with you. And the only thing we must bring in our partnership with you is to pray. Help us, Lord, to pray. Thank you, Lord, for your servant that you again have passed through to bring this crucial reminder unto us that we should pray. Please bless him and renew his strength. Continue to pour your grace, O God, upon his life. To you, Lord, be the praise, the glory, and adoration. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.